Well, one of the great sporting events on the calendar each year in thoroughbred racing is Royal Ascot. It makes the summer really, really exciting, and it kicks off on Tuesday, June 16th, and it kicks off in a really big way with several Group 1 races, two Group 1s as a matter of fact, three Group 2s, and nobody is on top of racing in England and at Royal Ascot more than NBC's Nick Luck, who is kind enough to spend some time with me here this morning. Nick, appreciate the visit, and happy Royal Ascot season.
Yeah, Mike, thank you very much. Obviously, for everybody, like anywhere in the world, it'll be bizarre this year at Royal Ascot with no top hats, no spectators, no royal presence. But nonetheless, we've got some wonderful racing. It's unwrapping all sorts of new gifts because we're right at the beginning of this abridged season. So we've really had nothing to lead us into this meet, essentially, apart from an excellent Guineas Festival last weekend. But yeah, it's weird but wonderful at the same time that we've got some top quality racing to talk about.
Yeah, one of the great aspects of Royal Ascot and the great events takes place when the Queen arrives, and obviously we won't get to see that this year. Are there plans? I know that they're working on Royal Ascot at home. Are there plans to somehow involve the Queen?
I think, in a sense, the broadcasters and the executive at Ascot will try and keep Her Majesty and the royal family as well across all events as they possibly can. I mean, I think it's a leap of the imagination to think that we're going to get any footage of the Queen during Royal Ascot, but certainly I haven't had any confirmation that that's the case, but you just never know, and it'll be fascinating to see how this resonates around the country with so many people still working from home, that normal midweek audience sitting at home, being able to watch. I would imagine the viewing figures will be sky high next week as they were last weekend, and it'll hopefully introduce a whole load more people to top quality horse racing as well. So yeah, there will be some positives to take out of it, even though the event itself will not have the same essence.
Yeah, very much so. I read a press release as I was getting ready for the interview on the Royal Ascot website, Nick, and it talked about the fact that 70% of the annual income for Royal Ascot comes from public admissions. So because of that, there have been some reductions in the purses. Doesn't take away from the quality of the races, certainly, but the money not going to be quite what it was supposed to be here in 2020.
No, it's not. And purses here in the UK are not really standing up at all well against purses across the globe at the elite level. So it's another blow. But the fact that there are still horses that are able to compete from Ireland and from the United States with Sharing and Kimari and so forth just shows that the prestige of the meeting still stands. It's not something we can rely upon, and we can't rest on our laurels forever, but yeah, at least in this very difficult year, the prestige and allure of having a runner at Royal Ascot has managed to withstand the crisis.
Yeah, and the racing will still be strong as always. Tell me about some of the highlights that folks can look forward to when they tune in to the Royal Ascot races.
Well, one thing you've got to get your head around this year is which races go where, because the running order has changed. There have been races added. There have been one or two handicap races added because of safety factors being adjusted, and they want to give as many horses a chance of getting into Royal Ascot as possible. They've shunted a lot of the two-year-old races toward the back end of the week because two-year-olds have only been able to run in this country since the beginning of June. So they've had one or perhaps no prep runs into them, so they want to give them as much time as possible. A similar token, they're putting the races that might lead to Epsom, so the King Edward VII and the Ribblesdale, which would normally be races coming after Epsom, they are now essentially trials for the Derby and Oaks at Epsom, so they have been moved to the beginning of the week, so there's a bit more time for horses to get over that and then potentially run on Derby and Oaks Day. Derby and Oaks will take place on the same day, which is Saturday, June the 4th. So there's all sorts of jiggery-pokery going on with the running order of Ascot, but as you say, the quality is so sustained through the week that you're always going to get something good. Tuesday, for example, you normally start with the Queen Anne. We actually warm up with a huge field handicap that's been put back in the race program over 7 furlongs, and then we get the Queen Anne. Then we get the Ribblesdale, the Oaks trial, then the Derby trial, then a Group 1 sprint, the King's Stand. So it's still incredibly good racing. The Queen Anne will bring forward the last two winners of the race, Accidental Agent. He'll be taking his chance, winner of 2 years ago. But there are many, many horses that you'll be familiar with that are likely to be much, much more toward the fore of the market. Circus Maximus, who ran such a good race in the Breeders' Cup Mile. He heads the betting at the moment. Improving horse from last year, Fox Chairman. He's got a lot to find on the balance of his form, but he's trained by Andrew Balding, whose horses have been in sensational form. A little bit of history could be made in that race. Paul and Oliver Cole, father and son. You remember Paul from many of the horses he's had run in the Breeders' Cup. They are now training as a training partnership. That's been recently brought in here in the UK. It's something that's happened in Australia for a number of years, that trainers can now operate under dual licenses. So this horse is trained by Paul and Oliver Cole, and he takes his chance in the Queen Anne, and he'd have a good chance, Duke of Hazzard, as well. Looking further into Tuesday, what we know now, the King Stand Stakes, best sprinter in the world on his day, Batash, probably takes on the best story of Royal Ascot, or one of the best stories of Royal Ascot, a horse called Skeptical, who Godolphin sold unraced for $2,500 less than a year ago, and is now the highest rated sprinter in Ireland. And Frankie Dettori's been booked, and he's a 3-1 shot. So that's a great story. And then on we go with wonderful races and horses that you know through the rest of the week.
Yeah, and Batash, he is a great story, and I'm sure he's going to be happy that Blue Point is not in the race again this year.
Yeah, the problem with Batash is he's an out-and-out raw speed 5-furlong horse, and the stiffish finish at Ascot has never really brought about the best in him. But I think all he really has to do is turn up and run the same race he ran last year, and he's going to be pretty difficult to beat. I think the dilemma with Batash on a stiff track is the extent to which connections are content to let him roll, to let him slide along. You know, he's so effective when he goes to Goodwood and York, we saw last year, and the time he won the Prix de l'Abbé 2 years ago, that when he's really allowed to use his pace in the middle of the race, he just has horses done by the furlong pole. It's dangerous to do that at Ascot because of the uphill finish. So it's a delicate balance for Jim Crowley, and that's why, you know, if he's an even money shot next week, I'd be quite happy to take him on.
Nick Luck joining me here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Royal Ascot opening on Tuesday. We'll run through Saturday. So many major group races, winning your ins for the Breeders' Cup. A lot on the line over the course of that 5-day stand. Nick, for our American listeners, talk about a couple of the prominent American runners that we could see throughout the week.
Well, Sharing is the obvious one, I suppose, the most high-profile horse that's likely to be running from the U.S. You're running the Coronation Stakes. That is going to take place on Saturday, but it doesn't take place until 1:50. It takes place at 1:50, which means that it'll just, at the moment as things stand, miss the NBC broadcast window, which is a bit of a nightmare, but it's just one of those years where things like that are happening. But we're either hoping to get it moved or show it straight off the bat as soon as we come on air at 9 o'clock Eastern on Saturday the 20th, which, of course, is Belmont Stakes Day as well. So Sharing is a big player. I think that'll be a spicy race, the Coronation Stakes. But I'm excited that she's coming for that. And certainly the form that she showed last year in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies Turf when she beat Albania, who runs in the 1,000 Guineas in Ireland, on Saturday, and Daya, who was a late scratch from the English 1,000 Guineas last weekend. That's form of the highest caliber, and I certainly think makes her a player against this group of three-year-old fillies.
You know, Nick, it's not only the equine stars that get me excited about Royal Ascot. It's the fact that it attracts so many of the top human stars that we have in the sport today. So on that side of things, who can folks look forward to seeing?
Well, it's a bit different this time, again, because of regulations stipulating whether jockeys can come in or not. So I think, you know, we can expect mainly British-based riders, because if Irish-based riders come over, then they have to go back and quarantine for 14 days in Ireland afterwards. So I think, you know, you're expecting these races to be dominated by Frankie Dettori and Ryan Moore, and I think that's what will happen. I'd be very surprised if by the end of the week they didn't have four or five each in the bag. I don't think there's going to be any surprises there. I've just been on the phone to John Gosden. He's absolutely loaded in some of the big races. Stradivarius bidding to defend his Gold Cup crown. He had a prep the other day at Newmarket over an inadequate 12. He's got horses like Terrabellum for the Queen Anne, Lord North and Medea for the Prince of Wales, his Palace Pier in the St. James's Palace. Any amount of talented fillies, three-year-old fillies in the Ribblesdale. One of the most exciting horses to have made a really big impression since the return of racing here is a horse of John's called Frankly Darling, who'll run in the Ribblesdale. She runs in the Golden Horn Cracksman Star Catcher Colors of Anthony Oppenheimer. I think she'd be a huge player and is likely to be a heavy favorite. So I can certainly see Frankie, who'll have the ride on nearly all of the horses I've just mentioned, being a huge fixture again. We remembered him with that amazing four-timer last year. And Ryan Moore, Aidan O'Brien, has begun the season in fine style with a victory in the 1,000 guineas at Newmarket with Love. I suppose it's not beyond the bounds of possibility. She could still come to the Coronation Stakes en route to the Oaks. It's unlikely, but not beyond the bounds of possibility. Likely to run Wichita, very good second in the English guineas. Likely to run him in St. James's Palace. It's rumours that, you know, Kew Gardens is 50-50, but if he comes to the Gold Cup, he'd be a big, big challenger to Stradivarius. So, loads of horses from Ballydoyle, I think, are players. As I say, they've got Circus Maximus, likely heavy favourite in the first Group 1. So the only thing I would point out is that the races that are not group or listed races, so the races that are not stakes races, the handicap races, which make up a big portion of the races at Royal Ascot, Aidan will not be able to have runners in those. They are the preserve of horses trained on these shores because of the COVID-19 regulations. It's only group and listed races that horses from abroad are allowed to participate in.
Interesting. A lot to be determined, a lot still up in the air, and certainly a much different Royal Ascot meet than we're used to seeing, but should be spectacular nonetheless. And who better to preview the meet than Nick Luck from NBC. Nick, before I wrap it up with you, just let folks know where they can watch the races. Of course, they'll be on NBC, but what are your broadcast windows?
So it's different this year because obviously of the regulations and how many people can be on the track. As I say, I've only been allowed on the track one day, and that's on Saturday. So we'll be doing the full NBC show on Saturday. We'll be taking 6 of the 8 races on Saturday, and we'll be taking those from 9 o'clock Eastern right through to the end of the card. Then there'll be Premier League, and then after that, they'll be launching into the coverage from Belmont. So it'll be a sports triple header on NBC all day Saturday, June the 20th. Now, in the days leading up to that, Tuesday through Friday, NBC Sports Network, NBCSN, will be taking the simulcast coverage of their broadcasting colleagues at Sky. So they will be taking the Sky Sports Racing coverage each of the 4 days, and then I will be helping to host the final day in conjunction with the network broadcaster at ITV. So that's what's happening. So you still will be able to see, if not all, then pretty much 90% of the races from Ascot live on either NBCSN or NBC.
Great stuff. Nick Luck here on HRRN. Nick, appreciate the visit, my friend. Enjoy the meet and stay safe, stay healthy, and we'll look forward to seeing you back over here before too long.
Not a bit. Thanks so much, Mike.